Pastor, just have one song, and I'm really going to only preach for about 20 minutes. And I know some of you don't, but there are some people who you kind of divide between being with your family and coming to the house of God. So we're going to really get in somewhat of an abbreviated service here, so some of you can spend a little more time with your families. And I want to go real quick to Isaiah 14. If you remember, we've been on this thing of looking at the devil. Not looking like the devil, looking at the devil. Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to be in verse 12, and I know we've looked at this, but I want to look at it from another angle here again, and we're going to actually do an Easter tie-in. How's that? All right, so Father, I pray just bless and help us and give us understanding here. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. All right, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then his fifth I will is I will be like the Most High God. Now it's interesting here because there's so much that the devil does that's godly, but it's unholy. Mm-hmm. And for example, one of the statements made about God in the book of Romans, who calleth those things that are not as though they were. In other words, God said to Abraham, you're a mighty man, okay? Said to Gideon, you're a mighty man. Abraham, you're gonna have many children, okay? Was Gideon a mighty man? No, but when God called him one, he became one. When God called Abraham a father of many nations, he became one. Because God's word cannot be false. Therefore, if he says it, it happens. The power is in his word. But a liar is someone who calleth those things that are not as though they were. Isn't that what a liar does? Doesn't a liar walk up and say, I didn't go through that red light. Okay, I didn't eat that cookie. He calleth those things that are not as though they were. So really, the devil does the exact same thing God does, but the difference is the devil can't make his word come true.
Yeah.
When God says it, it's holy, it's right, it's wrought in love, and the power of his word makes it come true. We lie because we want something to be the truth. We're hiding, we're trying to be evil. Okay. So the devil said, I'll be like the Most High God. That's what I'm going to do. It's always a mistake to think of the devil as the opposite of God. He does as much as he can to look like God. Because that's how you fool people. Okay? How do you, you know, if the kidnapper came up to your children, oh, come and have some candy, little girl. She's not going to go anywhere with that. That's why most molestation takes place with family, friends, people children trust, that kind of thing. That's where it usually happens. Because they do their best to look like they're supposed to look. And so the thing is, that's what the devil does. Now, I want to look here, oddly enough, at something the new versions do. And so we're going to go to the book of Acts. And I'm going to show you one of those places the new versions try to look like God wants them to look. They try to be like the Most High God. But in doing so, they fall flat on their face. So in the book of Acts chapter 12... Tanya, we'll let you read that. You look up Acts 12 there. That's an NIV. Over the house, I really need to bring them over. I got a treasure trove of Bibles out of Columbia, South Carolina. My father-in-law had every Bible I've been printed. And I've got ESVs and NASVs. I've got the whole kit and caboodle over there. And it's interesting, there was a Phillips Bible put out back in the 1920s and 30s. And Phillips put a note in his Bible that told on him. And I used to have a copy of it, and I gave it to a guy in Yorkshire one time. My father-in-law had the Bible, and they took the note out. But what the note said was this. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21, Phillips said, "This must be a slip of Paul's pen." In other words, he didn't believe the originals. And that when people realized what he said there, they erased that. And then said, "See, this is a good Bible." No, it showed you what the writer that thought. He actually thought. So I was so disappointed when I got my father-in-law's copy, they'd taken that note out of the Phillips Bible. So I'll have to find another one somewhere that's got that note in it. Acts chapter 12. Thank you. Yep. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now look at this parenthesis. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, Tanya, read that. What's that say in that verse? Just read the whole verse, yeah.
After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover.
All right. So now that said, he did it after the Passover. Your King James Bible, again, the only Bible out there that says Easter. All the rest are confirmed. Your King James translators were wrong. They're all sure of that. Now, here's why they say that. Now, we're going to look, and I'm going to let you guys judge when you see the facts. A, the Greek word is called Pascha. If you ever grew up in a Catholic church, you heard of a Paschal candle. Okay? They would have. It was a candle brought out at Lent for the Pascha. All right? Paschal candle, but the word is Pascha. If you were to go and study Greek for centuries, that meant Passover. Okay? But something happened in the Greek language somewhere around the year 30 to 40 AD. What happened? The resurrection of Jesus Christ happened. What happens when new technological or cultural things happen in a language? Words change. So, for example, the word bite, okay? What did it mean in 1920, okay? But now we have so many bytes of data in something. It brought on a different meaning, the word bite. It meant something different, okay? Something that was cool in 1890 and cool today had different meanings, okay? Wow, that's really cool. I don't mean that it's of a more frigid temperature than the things around it when I say that. Wow, that's really neat. I'm not talking about orderly. All right, I'm talking about apt and such. So here's what happened. Your King James translators maintain that the word Pascha held a different meaning after the resurrection, and that it meant Easter after that. Okay? Now, that's a pretty heady thing to say, because every other Greek scholar since then has disagreed with it. And yet all 54 of them had to unanimously agree that the word there is Easter. Now, how would you defend that? Well, I want you to go back. First of all, I want you to look in parentheses in verse 3. Because in parentheses are always keys in the King James Bible. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Okay? Then were the days of unleavened bread. Now go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. Leviticus being the third book in your Bible. It's distinguished in the King James Bible as being the only book called Leviticus. All right. All right, Leviticus 23, look at verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Josh? Here we're going to get the proof, all right? You listen. I'm glad you listen, Josh. I'm glad you're following this. I'm real pleased with that, okay? Now, watch this. Yeah, and you also are abnormally intelligent and good-looking. All right? All right. But now I got to be quiet. All right. All right. So, well, he had nothing but intelligent. Miss Rayanne, you too? Oh, Papa, we'll pray for him on Wednesday. You be sure of that, sweetheart. Okay. All right. So the thing is here, watch what it says. First you have the Passover, the 14th day. What happens on the 15th day? You begin the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And how long does that last? 7 days. Now, keeping your hand there, go back to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and look at verse 3, the parentheses again. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So if they're in the days of unleavened bread, has Passover already happened? It has. Therefore, when it says, these are the days of unleavened bread, but Herod's waiting for what? Easter. Can't be Passover. Passover's already happened. You see that? And yet idiots that run to these Bible colleges.
That's right.
Pascha, it's got to mean Passover. Oh, you know, your King James Bible's so stupid. No, it's not. You're stupid. Okay? You've got all this money, translated all these Bibles, and you're just dead wrong. You can't even read in the context what it's talking about. Okay? It cannot, it's physically impossible for that to be Passover there.
That's right.
Okay? That's why your King James translators realized, oh, the word Pascha has a new meaning since the resurrection. Ms. Jennifer?
Does the NIV take out that part about unleavened bread from verse 3?
I don't know. Does it? No, does it say that? Does it have the unleavened bread in there? Ah, it doesn't even have that passage in there. These be the days of unleavened bread. They don't even have it in there, okay? So again, what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to get everybody to take nonsense, little foolish Bibles and put them out there. Now, here's the point. If I wanted to poison the whole nation and get everybody to take a shot that would hurt them, okay, would I go out there and get some mafia thugs to convince everybody, or would I get medical doctors to convince everybody? I'd get medical doctors. So if I was the devil and I was trying to mess up America, whose mouth would I use? Preachers. Can you imagine? It talks about in the book of Jude how that the devil and Michael the archangel contended over the body of Moses. Well, what did the devil want with the body of Moses? Okay. Can you imagine if Moses had come walking back into the camp? After God had taken over to die, the devil got his body, and he walks into the camp and tells her, oh, by the way, we have a new agenda. Can you imagine that? Who better to have messed up all of Israel than for the devil to have got Moses? That's why the Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians, though I or anyone else come and preach another gospel, let him be accursed. If you saw me walk into town, preach something different, let it be accursed. Why? Because the devil would prefer to use the men of God to mess things up than he would to use thugs, okay? You know, I often say this. If when I was talking to my wife and got angry with her, let's say about 1 out of every 100 times I got angry, I just cold cocked her. I can't take it anymore. And I just slam blast her and lay her out on the ground. Now, you know, by the way, if you ever saw me do that, you dial 911.
That's right.
You don't even play with it. It's just 911. Or just, you know, let me go explain in the Allegheny County Jail why I thought I needed to cold cock my wife. And then, by the way, that's what I'm going to do when I catch you. All right? But regardless of that, let's just say about 1 out of every 100 times I go ahead and cold cock her. She's talking with me and she's a little bit nervous. How often is she expecting it? Every time. You know, the great historian, I believe it's John Freeling. Freeling's his last name. He teaches at the University of Kentucky now. I like to follow a lot of his works. He talks about the idea how Southerners have convinced themselves their slaves didn't mind being slaves. And he mocks that with great, really great authority. He talks about the Denmark Vesey Rebellion, where a posse came to a plantation in Florence, South Carolina, to arrest a slave. And the homeowner stood with his gun to protect his slave. You're not taking it. And the sheriffs are explaining, but he's part of the rebellion. The homeowner, I'll never believe that about Old Cuffy. Old Cuffy had been in the family all along. He's the house slave. He's devoted. He's taken care of children. He's nursed them in sickness, all these things. Finally, the sheriff shows enough evidence to the homeowner, and the homeowner realizes, oh my goodness, Cuffy was involved in this. He turns around to Cuffy. What were you going to do with me? He said, I was going to cut your guts out, throw them in your face, and watch you die. How would you treat a man who would beat you over the least little smile you gave in the wrong place? You treat him wonderful all the time. You tell him that he's always just wonderful, and I love you, and I just love being a slave. Okay? That's what you would do. You wouldn't have a choice but to be anything but that. Okay? And he talks about how that the worst punishment that a slave could get was to be sold downriver. That if you acted up too often, they just sold you. Neil, you're for sale now. You're going. You're never going to see your wife. You're never going to see your kids again. You've mouthed me for the last time. You're going to be sold downriver. And that's the last you'll ever see. What an awful thing. I mean, Autumn just clutched his arm. All right? Just clutched his arm. Freeling says, well, how often did that happen in the South? About 1 out of every 100 men had it happen to him. If 1 out of every 100 men where you worked had that happen to him, how would you behave? You'd behave like it could happen to you at any given moment, okay? Like it could happen to you at any given moment, and you would pretend with all your heart, okay, that you're going along with this. And that's why you have the just idiot Southerners today. Oh, they liked being slaves. Oh, sure they did. Yeah, they just loved it, you know. Thought it was wonderful as far as that goes. But the point is this. If you did something every 100 times, they're going to be watching for it all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time they're going to be nervous you're going to do this. All the time. Well, what about 1 out of every 100 things you say to people are ungodly? What about whatever 1 out of every 100 things you say to people is a little bit crude and, you know, a little bit off-color? How often do people expect it from you? All the time. So what the devil really wants to do, he's not trying to get the Jesuits or the communists and them to screw things up. He's trying to get the Christians and the Black Creek Baptist Church just to use their mouths wrong. They don't use it about 1 out of every 100 times. Okay? Just to get you to say things you shouldn't say. So that people are constantly expecting that. And so what the devil's done in his counterfeiting, he's prepared a nation full of these other Bibles out there. He's prepared all the Christians out there just to believe stuff that can't even be so, because once you put Bibles out there that can't be accurate anymore, then nobody believes there's any accurate Bible.
That's right.
They don't believe there's anything that's true. And that's, you'll always hear these people say, well, I believe all the Bibles. No, you don't. You don't believe any of them.
That's right.
There's not any single Bible they believe that they can turn to every single word and believe everything in it. Okay? And that's what the devil's done. But I just thought I'd show you that just with the word Easter itself. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
Just Easter.
Yes, sir.
And the universities. You'd think if you were to go and take the top 10 fundamental universities in America, that somewhere in there one of them could get it straight, but universally their Greek departments have that wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
Universally. Can't even get a little thing like that right. Because they set this aside.
Yeah.
Don't you do it. All right. Father, I thank you for what we learned today, and I pray bless these folks as they go back to their families. Bless them as they go back for Easter. Bless them. And I thank you for what you've done in the house of God today. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, folks, I won't see you next week. We'll be gone, but God bless you.